Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone on the top of the homepage at Stamps.com and type in our promo code GHOST for a 4-week trial, includes postage and a digital scale. Stamps.com, promo code GHOST. Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own bunk bed bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own bunk bed bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your bunk bed bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or of course, you can also email me your audio file. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Social media, all over that, if you want to interact with us. Real Ghost Stories Online and Facebook, that's where a lot of folks comment about the stories and the episodes and post further follow-up questions and such. Twitter at Ghost Story Radio, Instagram at Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat there as well at Ghost Podcast. Just before the show, I was cleaning out the closet here behind me and trying to get a little more organized back there. And I found my Box O Radio stuff.
Oh, yeah?
And it has all sorts of little gems from, like, the past 30 years of playing radio station to, like, doing this now and everything in between. And I found the cassette tapes we were talking about the other day that have me playing radio station with my friend on it. I don't have it readily accessible right now, but I did find a boombox that works.
Oh, okay.
So I can listen to all the joy that that is.
Yay.
And or subject you to it. Well, I don't know what the right terminology would be for that. But and then I also found, and I did a little Facebook Live session with this. I found an unopened American Top 20 with Casey Kasem.
Oh, wow.
Pack.
From when?
The date on it is September 7th, 1998.
I don't even know what would be on that.
Backstreet Boys, I'll Never Break Your Heart was the number one song in the country.
Okay.
And now, on with the countdown.
Awesome, Casey.
Yes. Okay. And it was really, I opened it up on Facebook Live, and then I popped it into the computer to listen to it. I was like, this is going to be great. I can't wait. Let's see what was the top songs in 1998. And countdown starts up, and I remember all of it. It all just came back to me, the intro, the music, and how the whole thing went. And I'm just kind of mimicking it as it's rolling. And then right when it's supposed to go to Casey to start, like, hello again, everybody, and welcome to the countdown. It's someone else filling in for him that
week. Oh, jeez.
It's like, what the hell?
That's great.
Such a letdown. There was the other part of the program where it was like a weekly thing that you could run once a day, and it was Casey flashing back to a hit. And you'd run it during, like, the lunch hour. And that had Casey on it, so I played that a little bit. We listened to a little Roberta Flack and Maxie Priest.
Nice.
I bet you are sad you missed that shit.
Yeah, I am.
I have the CD right. We can go back to it. We
can
play it on the show. If you
want. I'm not really sad. Okay. I'm just trying to play along, be nice.
So there you go. That was a little gem. Every day we'll find something new from the box of radio shit and play it back. I don't think so. be a bit much.
It's almost better when you can't find anything in your office. Now that you know where stuff is, it's more dangerous.
I found a four when I was on the air in Green Bay. I found a tape of that. I have a lot of tapes of that.
Uh-huh.
And I was listening to that, giving the forecast from like 1999 or so. It was like before a Packers game.
Did you sound pukey back then?
Oh, very. It's like, and now your official FM weather station was, what do we call it? Because they had like a TV station affiliation and they dropped it. And then they just became your official FM weather station.
Wow.
WIXX. Yep.
Okay.
It's like, so. And I talk like this, 74 right now. Aplodoshka, 78, downtown Green Bay.
Okay.
And your official FM weather station. This is where you get to sing the jingle.
No, I'm over the weather.
Okay. Let's go to our first caller today at 855-853-4802. Hi, you're on the air. And your official ghost story station.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Emily. I'm from Minnesota. I recently found your guys' podcast about 3 weeks ago, and I'm working my way backwards through all of the episodes, watching the current ones as they come out. I just love your guys' stuff, and I listen to you guys all day, so I figured I'd call in. I wrote in about 2 weeks ago already. I wrote in pretty much right after I found you guys, and I haven't heard that on an episode yet, but I was hoping that maybe this one or that one will make it in. I have a dream story that I'd like to call in for you guys, too, but I'll do that on a different day. So here goes. When I was really little, about a year old or so, my parents moved off of the house that I was born in into a little farm that we rented. We didn't do any of the farming. The people that owned the house did, and we pretty much just got to use all the buildings and stuff, on the site. My parents were only together for a short time while we were there. And apparently, my mom used to hear footsteps in the house, and all the cats, we were a big cat family, but all the cats would always be sitting in the living room with all of us. And my dad just kind of brushed it off and told her she was nuts or whatever, you know. And then as we started to grow up a little bit more, they had a dimmer switch in their bedroom. It was a really old house, not in the best of shape at all. And they had a dimmer switch in their bedroom, and my mom would be sitting there reading a book or whatever at night. You know, this was kind of before everybody had TVs in their rooms. And the lights would just dim on their own or would turn off on their own. And my dad tried to play it off and say, well, it's just a faulty dimmer switch, you know, it's an old house. And so then she would go over and turn it back up and, you know, go back to her book. But then it started to happen where she would be sleeping, turned off the light when she went to bed, and she'd be waking up in the middle of the night, and she would see a glowing light, just a really soft glow of the light. And she'd wake my dad up and say, well, you know, the light's on. Did you go turn the light on? Did you go to the bathroom or something and forget to turn it off? And he'd say, no, I'm sure it's just that faulty switch, you know. And so she'd get up and go push the switch to turn it, you know, off. Well, then it would turn it on. So really, the light was glowing and the switch wasn't even on. Fast forward a couple of years, and my parents had separated and divorced by that time. And it was just me and my two sisters in the house with my dad. My mom would come and visit every once in a while. They were still pretty good friends, I guess. They tried to make it work for a long time, so they were just able to stay friends after. And she kind of started to tell us these stories, you know, and these things that happened. And my oldest sister knew a lot about them. And I started to realize that I was having those same types of things happen in that house. I slept with my dad a lot because I was so young when my parents got divorced. that I was kind of just tormented as a kid by my sisters, by my family. So my comfort was in him. And a lot of times I would wake up in his bed in the middle of the night with the same glowing on the ceiling as, you know, my mom would experience with the light. And there was also an old chimney pipe that was capped off on the inside of our house. And I thought that these were dreams for the longest time until my mom told me that she had the exact same experience. But I would wake up and see a face looking at me from around that pipe, which I'm not sure if it was in the pipe or floating in the air, but I saw it nonetheless. And as I said, I thought they were dreams until my mom confirmed many years later that she had seen that same exact type of thing. So not a whole ton of like really creepy stuff happened there, just kind of those little things here and there. But fast forward quite a few years now. I'm now 24, married with two kids, and a couple of years back, the house has been abandoned for about 6 or 7 years probably, and the yard's overgrown, and nobody really goes up there anymore. The buildings are falling down. They had a fire in one of the barns, and that completely burnt down. And I told my husband that, you know, I grew up in that house. I would really love to just go back in there one time because the house was unlocked. It was just abandoned. And so I asked my dad if he knew if that was okay, because it is still owned privately. And he said that, yeah, he had done the exact same thing. And so my husband and I dropped our kids off, and we went exploring in this old family house of mine. And we were walking through the kitchen, and, you know, I was looking at all the rooms and just telling him, you know, memories and stuff. And when we made our way upstairs, and my dad's room was down the hall just a little ways. So I looked into two different bedrooms and was telling him a little bit about them. And I should mention that my dad also ended up moving out of this bedroom because he never really said why, but I kind of think that, you know, things started making a little bit of a believer out of him, because he ended up moving into a bedroom that was no bigger than a bathroom. It was really tiny. Granted, he was a single guy, but still, why wouldn't you want the space, you know? So anyways, we made our way down the hall a little bit more, and all of a sudden my husband goes, Emily, did somebody die in this house? And I said, well, not that I know of. Why? And he goes, because you need to come look at this. And I walked down the hall, and I looked in the bedroom, and right in front of the doorway, there was an outline taped on the floor of a body, sprawled on the floor. I didn't have time to look and see if there was any stains or whatnot, or if there was any, you know, stuff around that room. It was in the room that we had all those experiences in, me and my mom. We booked it out of there about as fast as we possibly could. And I have asked him since if he would want to go back and see if it's still there, because I called my dad and I asked him about it, and he goes, oh, well, I'm sure some kids were just partying in there, you know, in an abandoned house, and did that to play a joke on people. Well, yeah, I'm not so sure that that's what happened. I guess not really any insight needed from you guys. I just thought it was kind of a creepy story, and I wanted to let you guys know that. I'm probably going to be calling back pretty soon here, maybe even tonight still, with my dream story. I am hoping that you guys would maybe play it on the regular podcast, but if it goes into the EPP, hopefully one day I become a member of that, and I'll get to hear it on there if you guys play it. That's my story. I hope that you guys keep doing this for a long time. Seems like every time I get caught up on a podcast and get current, they shut it down. So I really hope that that doesn't happen with you guys before I get caught up. So love your guys' show. Keep doing it. Bye.
So I almost wonder if something happened to somebody who was living in the house and they taped where the body was just to figure out what happened, because it might have been, you know, kind of mysterious, like you've talked about that accidental ghost killing. You know, where people write it off as an accident, but okay. It was something ghostly.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I could see kind of the argument of the dad, like, it's kids screwing around.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something I would do if I was in that situation as a teenager, and it's like, this is creepy. Let's make a body outline and just freak out your friends.
Sure. This,
you know, maybe I could see it being not even let's freak out other people who are going to find it, but more so, there's some girls downstairs and they're afraid to come up. And before they get up there, you make the body outline to really freak them out by the time they get upstairs.
Yeah, I could see that too. I just wonder, though, if something really did happen in that house.
Sure. I could see it. You know, it's probably maybe before she's even aware of it, even before, you know, she was living there.
It just is eerie that it happened in the room where all the other stuff happened.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That's what makes me suspicious.
Yeah. There's probably some connection there. It's just hard to know what or how that is there. So thank you for sharing that the experience with us. We do greatly appreciate that. Of course, the phone number here, 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you're not an EPP yet, go to ghostpodcast.com. Sign up for you can do a monthly membership for $5 a month, or do the year membership. Get yourself a bunk bed bell so you can ring along every time we say the word bunk bed here on the program. And I will send it to you. Through stamps.com and the lovely scale that I have and the lovely postage that I have. That's how you will get it. And by the way, you too can utilize all the joy that is stamps.com.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. You know, you don't have time to go to the post office. I usually don't. And you can do everything just right there from your desk. It's so convenient. Anything you can do at that post office, you can do right from your desk with stamps.com. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. And unlike the post office, stamps.com never closes. And it doesn't smell either. It is a website. So you don't have that kind of distinct smell of the post office.
Oh, that's not nice.
It's not the people. It's the packages sometimes.
That's still not nice.
If there's some stuff that comes to like a storm or something and it's all wet and kind of, you know, not great, it's an advantage right there. Unless you yourself smell, then there's nothing stamps.com can do to alleviate that. But you can get postage wherever you need it 24/7. Check it out for yourself right now. Use our promo code GHOST. With a special offer, get a four-week trial, including postage and a digital scale. They send it to you. Not bad. Don't wait. Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, go there. Click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in ghost. Stamps.com. Enter ghost. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. There you go. 855-853-4802. The phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hello, this is Matthew Duchette. I am a paranormal investigator with Ottawa Hunting Paranormal Group. I wanted to give you a chilling tale about an encounter at the Cumberland Museum. Now, at the Cumberland Museum, I was a co-op student. I was helping out, tidying up. I was also a blacksmith apprentice. Now, there is one of the houses there at the Company Museum called the Dufour House. And it's one of the houses that's the most haunted out of all the rest of the other houses including the church, the fire, a man's house, so have you. The reason it's the most haunted is because there's a demon inside that house that resides there. Now, no one knows how the demon got there, if it's a malevolent spirit or unguided spirit, but from my experiences with the paranormal, it is a demon. It is classified as a demon. The reason how it's classified as a demon is that it shows symbols and signs of harm towards one another, especially if it does it in packs of three. For example, if it does three knocks at 3 a.m., you have a demon. Or if you're always getting cuts, and it's not just one, it's always a pair of three, then you know it's not just a poltergeist, you got yourself a demon. Now, this demon is... it doesn't want you to know anything about it. Usually I could get a read on certain types of demons and, you know, certain histories. The history for this demon in particular at the Dufour House at the Carmen Museum out in Ottawa, Canada, I can't get a good read on it. Now, I'm going to tell you my experience of what I had with the malevolent spirit. It was my turn to clean the Dufour House, so I went inside, closed the front door, so tourists knew that it was unavailable. When you first walk inside the house, to the right, you have yourself just a simple room that you can tell an old woman lived inside that room and was paraplegic. Now, as you continue into the house, you got yourself the dining room table. Now, it's made all the very simple wood. And at the top, you got yourself a shelf, and on that shelf, you have all these porcelain dolls. And these porcelain dolls just looked at me. I don't know. I don't know if I was just not looking right or something like that. And outside the house, before I got brought upstairs by a spirit, outside the house, you got these flaps. Okay, these flaps close on the window, you know, to give privacy. It's kind of weird that they're outside, but as I was inside, one flap after another started to close. Boom, 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 boom. And it started to get real cold. And mind you, inside this house, it's usually hot because it's summer and there's no air conditioning. So, as I'm standing there, and I saw that happen, I'm like, okay, no one touched it. So I closed my eyes, and I asked the spirit that was there, show me, bring me to a place where something bad has happened. So I felt something grab my arm, brought me upstairs, and when you're at the stairs, right in front of you, you have a window, okay? And you just continue, you do one to two steps, okay? To your right, master bedroom. To your left, kid's bedroom. And the two bedrooms beside theirs are the guest bedroom. So I felt it bring me to the master bedroom. So I felt a little push behind me, and I opened my eyes. There was blood everywhere. And me, as a co-op student, potential employee, I thought somebody really got hurt and probably got cut or something else. So I looked everywhere for a body. There was no body. But there was blood absolutely everywhere, and I actually felt the blood and touched the blood. I actually felt it on my hands. So I went down and swept down on the floor and felt it. Right away, I wiped out my shirt, and once again, I did it again on my hands. And after that, I went downstairs, back downstairs. I couldn't open the door. The door, it was, felt like it was welded shut, but it's just a wooden door. And I was, you know, putting my whole force on it, and I couldn't open it, and the door was unlocked. And I'm looking at the sides of the windows, and no one's there. Then, out of nowhere, I heard three claw marks. Here. I heard that coming from upstairs. So I venture upstairs to see what that was. I didn't see anything. So I decided to just go in the kid's bedroom. In this little kid's bedroom, there's little toys, there's a little toy gun. I picked up the toy gun, and I heard a kid yell, "Don't touch it!" And I dropped the gun. And I turned around and saw, who was that? And I yelled, "If someone's here, show yourself." No one was there. So I put the toy back. I'm like, okay. The child spirit doesn't want me to touch it. I'm not going to touch it. I go in the guest bedroom. And that bedroom just felt dark. It felt, I felt a lot of hate. A lot of hatred in that room. So what I did, I put a rope at that entrance to show you no one's allowed to go in there. But in that hallway, like I said, there's that window. And beneath the window, there's a trunk. And I was about to open it. The flaps reopened. Then I was able to see where I was able to go. But before then, before the flaps opened, I forgot to mention I had a flashlight on me. I always have a flashlight on me. But I was about to open the trunk, or something was telling me to open the trunk. But I also had a lot of blood on me, so I wanted to really get out. So when the flaps opened, I went, okay, you know what? I could actually go out now. I could go out and tell the manager about the blood that I saw in the master bedroom in the Dufour house. So, flaps opened. I was able to open the door. I was panting. I was out of breath because, well, you know, I ran down the stairs. And when I was outside in the summer sun, I double-checked before I went inside the office. And I looked at myself. The blood is gone. The blood is on my hands. The blood is not on my shirt anymore. It felt like as if it was a dream. And then when I turned around to look at the Dufour house, I saw a black shadow in that window of where the hallway is. I saw the black shadow just standing there. Just staring at me. And I felt like I was getting mad at it. And it was getting mad at me. For the amount of time I was staring at it, it felt like 3 minutes. The blacksmith came to get me because I was a blacksmith apprentice. And he told me that I was standing there for 2 hours long staring at that window. They thought I was having some kind of seizure. But no, I was staring at a black shadow that I know, that I consider was a demon from the Dufour house. Like, kids can't even go in there. Kids below 12 can't go in there. They would cry. They would stop at the door and not go. They won't venture any further than the door. Babies, you cross the door, they would start crying. And they'd be impossible to handle. But you take them outside the Dufour house, they're okay. Anyways, that is my first story that I'm submitting. My name, once again, is Matt Duchette. I am with OHPG, Ottawa Haunting Paranormal Group. I hope you guys have enjoyed my story.
There you go.
Maybe it wasn't showing him what had happened. It was showing him what will happen if he didn't leave.
Like, hey, and coming up next.
Yeah.
Death.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thought.
You know, I don't know that it's designed to, well, it's designed to scare you either way, but mm-hmm. I don't know if it's like, here's what I've done in the past. It's more so, here's what's going to happen to you.
Yeah, I could see that, especially if it's something really dark. It's more so designed just to scare, not to necessarily recount, hey, look what happened over here. It's, let's freak the hell out of you any way we can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that experience and sharing that encounter. I think that would make me right there if I was in a paranormal hunting group, which I'm not, stop.
Yeah.
I think I'd be like, a little bit too close to the dark side here. I'm going to just go back to my studio and talk about ghosts, which is what we remain doing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good thing for us to do.
we can start collecting haunted objects. Wouldn't that be fun?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I know some folks who do that, and I don't know how.
No.
I think that would, I guess for some it works. I don't know. I would just be, even if nothing is going on with those items, if I have no provable weird shit's happening and this is really haunted, I think my anxiety would just go off the charts knowing that I have all those objects that could potentially at any time start doing shit.
I put those people in the same category with the ones that are more than happy to have like 12 plus kids or 20 dogs. They just have more patience and understanding than I do. I don't have patience for a lot of things,
sure.
Let alone something that's gonna haunt.
I think it's a level thing. It's like if you have the patience and the ability to handle it, okay, more power to you.
Yeah.
We're not one of them.
No.
Let's got another caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Jessica. I'm calling from Hampton, Virginia. I first want to say I really like the show. I've only been listening for a couple of weeks now. Listening to the old ones and kind of working my way up to the more recent. I was pretty much sold the day that Tony, you started talking about that old kids show, Today's Special. Yeah, I totally remember watching that show, and that is absolutely epic that you brought that up. Okay, so anyways, I've got a couple of Ouija board stories, but I'm going to start with the longest one. If there's time, then I'll tell you the shorter one. So this actually took place, I want to say, my junior year of high school. I grew up in California, and I lived in this really small town called Dixon. And in the town, there was literally a railroad track that went through the town. And a friend of mine lived in this huge Victorian house that was actually turned into apartments. So anyways, a little backstory about the house. So it's right by the railroad tracks, and my friend that actually stayed there, her name was Diva, she told me the history of the house, and apparently it was a cat house back in the day. And which was made sense because it was pretty centrally located. People got off the train and, you know, went there, did their business, and got back on and left. So she had, you know, a psychic come through and kind of, you know, find out some of the things that were going on in the house because she was experiencing some paranormal stuff. There had been deaths that had happened in the house. One guy had hung himself in the front parlor of the downstairs apartment. A little boy fell out of the second story apartment. And apparently there were like abortions that were done in the downstairs bathroom. Guy actually killed his wife and buried her under the house because they have an unfinished basement, actually, and all kinds of really creepy stuff. So, and actually her and her roommate had been attacked more than once by a male entity. So, so I knew about all this stuff prior. Well, the story that I'm going to tell you, this actually took place in Halloween. So, she had a Halloween party and, you know, she had a bunch of people there. And as the night was kind of progressing, I noticed this guy and he wasn't really talking to anybody and he looked a little out of place. And I noticed that his necklace was a pentagram. And, I went up to my friend and I said, well, who's that? She said, I have no idea. She said, I've been trying to ask people who the hell this guy is, and nobody knows. I said, well, you know, it's your party. You should probably go and ask how the hell he got in, because this wasn't like an open house. You know, it was by invitation only. So apparently they had found out that he, I don't know who he came with, but he was like, I'm not going to say priest or whatever, but he was the head of the satanic cult in the town that we lived in. And I said, oh, well, that's great. You know, first off, I was thinking, well, where are the cats? Because, you know, she had a whole bunch of cats that lived with her, and I was, you know, huge animal lover. So, of course, I wanted to know where their location was, because if any animals came up missing, he was going to walk out with a severe limp, at least. So, but the animals were all fine and whatever. Well, it came time that we were going to start doing party game. And, of course, party game of the night was to play with the Ouija board. Now, I had played with the Ouija board prior, and that was another story that I was going to tell you guys. And I, you know, got a little freaked out or whatever, but it was nothing that I couldn't handle. But something told me, you know, when she announced that, you know, what we were all going to be doing, something told me, don't get on the board with him, because I really didn't get a good vibe from this dude. And so they go to sit down, and the guy's like, well, let me play. So, you know, they were like, okay. Well, we ended up pouring salt around the perimeter of where they were sitting at the table. And everybody just kind of filled in and watched and whatnot. So the guy said, well, I'm going to conjure up a demon. I want to talk to this demon. He called him Nicodemus. I don't know if this is his real demon name, but that's the name he said. And he looked very serious about it. So they were like, okay. And let me just tell you, I've never seen that planchette move so damn fast in my life. I mean, it was spelling out stuff very quickly. And I don't remember the whole conversation, but a lot of people were starting to get a little creeped out and starting to kind of back off a little bit. And I don't know. I just didn't get a good vibe. So I actually, when they finally took a break, I just said, you know what, just go ahead and, you know, somebody needs to take me home, because I lived across town and I didn't drive yet. And so my friend, Diva, she actually, I think it was her, she took me home, and I just said, you know what, just watch this guy, because he's creepy. So anyways, I got home that night, and let me tell you, I just felt like I was being watched the entire time. Just felt real oppressive, like a heaviness on my chest as I went to bed that night. I had all kinds of nightmares, but that was the last time that I messed with the Ouija board, because You know, I mean, as a Christian now, I know that whatever spirit you think that you're trying to talk to on there, 9 times out of 10 is not a spirit, and it probably is a demon or some kind of negative spirit. They'll tell you anything you want to hear, because most of the time it's half-truths. So that was, that's the first story. The second story, this one's short. This was my first time I experienced a Ouija board. I actually went to Toys R Us. This was back when I was, I want to say about 14 or 15. 14. It was right, it was the day before Christmas Eve. Not Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve. And I took some of my Christmas money and I went to Toys R Us. And I've always been a fan of horror movies and everything. So, you know, I'd seen movies with the Ouija board and I said, well, you know, that's something I want to try out. Because I never heard anything about it. I didn't live in a very spiritual household. So I went to Toys R Us, and I was going to be spending the next couple of nights with my friend. And so I told her I was getting it and that we could play with it and whatnot. And another one of her friends came over. And so the spirit or whatever the hell it was that we were talking to on there, at first it was pretty passive, but then eventually, I don't know how the conversation came about. The people that I used to hang out with, they were in gangs. And the spirit portrayed itself as a person from a rival gang. And I know this sounds retarded, but it gets a little bit more interesting. So anyways, so the girl, my friend's friend, she was, you know, talking back and forth with the spirit. And basically there were a lot of negative comments going back and forth. I don't remember if we ended up saying goodbye or not, to kind of close it out. But later that night, and I stayed with my friend in her room. I slept in the bed with her. On the side that I was sleeping on, there was a window, and then there was like a bench so that you could look out of the window. And one side there was like this huge teddy bear, but I just kept feeling like something was sitting there and watching me. And I couldn't go to sleep for the longest time, and I felt like I was being touched pretty inappropriately. I don't know. Eventually, I went to sleep. Well, the next night, we were having a party. It was New Year's Eve. And I was getting ready, and I happened to feel something on my stomach, and I pulled up my shirt. I had 3 perfect scratch marks going down my stomach. And I was like, okay, this is weird, because I'm not wearing anything that would make that kind of those kinds of marks. So I didn't say anything. I just kind of put my shirt down and was like, okay. Well, then about 20 minutes later, I went to go look in the mirror to check the scratches out again, and they were gone. I mean, completely gone. Like there was never scratches there to begin with. My skin looked normal. I went back a little bit later, looked at it again. They were back, and then later on they were gone again. So it just, I didn't know anything about, you know, supernatural. I was, you know, young, and anything I knew was from movies, but I just thought that was kind of freaky. So, anyways, I hope you guys like my story. I really enjoyed listening to the podcast. I'll continue to listen to it, and I will be calling back with some more supernatural experiences that I have encountered since I've lived here in Virginia. Okay? Thanks. You guys take care. Bye.
Moral of the story is don't play on a Ouija board with somebody who's wearing a pentagram. How's that?
It's usually a... I think that could be a fun Daniel Tiger song for the kids, you know? I love making songs, because Harper, that's how she talks about everything now. She's like, this is what families do. When somebody trips and gets hurt, you give them a Band-Aid. You know, it's just like basic life lessons.
Yeah.
So I think if we could do that to some nice kind of fun kids music, I think that could really be something.
Are you looking for some fun kids music?
Yes, I am.
I figured you were.
I am looking for some fun kids music that, let's see here. What can we have? Playful, silly. Let's see what we got here. So the lesson again, it's.
Don't play on a Ouija board with somebody who's wearing a pentagram.
Okay. Here we go. If someone's playing on a Ouija board and has a pentagram, that means that you shouldn't play with them. Go eat some ham. If you play with the Ouija board with the guy with the pentagram, you might be possessed by the end of the day.
I just want all of our listeners to realize that this is not just on the show. This is my life 24/7. If you say something and it comes out wrong, it becomes a song.
It does.
Or if you have to say a phrase that you never thought you'd ever have to say in your whole life, it becomes a song.
I like how I worked eating ham into there, and I don't know. I don't know why. I just needed something to rhyme.
Yeah.
With Graham and ham. So.
Okay.
There you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Hope everybody enjoyed that little Grammy award-winning gem. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Actually, ghostpodcast.com. That's the EPP site. Real Ghost Stories Online will take you there, too. You can click and it'll link you over. Either or will get you to where you need to go. It's everywhere you want to be.
Oh, that's great.
There you go. So ghostpodcast.com. Sign up, become an EPP. Help keep us on the air. Get a bunk bed bill if you sign up for a full year. So, lots of good stuff there. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.